Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder with you on WGN, along with Kurt Wagner.
Boogie on now.
Of TVShowPatrol.com. And
with
Danny
dancing.
Terrio. Kurt, a couple of things. First of all, hi. Second
hi.
Of all, Star Trek, one of the most important television shows of all time.
Ever.
Is turning 50 this year. It's the 50th anniversary of Star Trek.
I think the actual day was September 8th. Well, yesterday.
Oh, was it?
I'm older than Star Trek.
Yeah.
So are you.
Aren't we all?
You're a lot older than Star Trek. I'm just a little older than Star Trek. when you think about it, that's a show that really had a struggle to get on the air. It had a struggle to get an audience initially.
Did it really?
Oh, yeah.
It only lasted 3 seasons.
Yeah, out of the 5-year mission.
And then it never left television.
Right.
After that. I mean,
it's been on in some form.
Yeah.
Ever since.
And all these networks are having anniversaries this week. But you know what else I think is cool about Star Trek is all the technology that has come from the original series.
Mm-hmm. I still can't get food when I want it.
But think about it. That is the latest one. They now have the 3D printers. Mm-hmm. Think about it. The replicators were basically the blueprint for a 3D printer, right? I mean, you can't do... I don't think you can do organic material yet, can you?
Why are you looking at me?
Because aren't you?
You're our science
officer.
Aren't
you the science?
I'm not making copies. even Mac Makeup has jumped on the Star Trek.
They introduced that at San Diego Comic Con this summer. I tried to get some for a friend of mine, but the line was so long I couldn't.
What does that mean, Star Trek Makeup?
Mac Makeup, a lot of people in show business use the makeup because it lasts really long and it's professional makeup. And they always introduce a line of makeup from someone who's popular, like they had an Ariana Grande line. And now their new line for a limited time only is the Star Trek line. I haven't looked at the colors.
It's inspired by the women of Star Trek.
Yeah, like Uhuru had like the cat eyes and stuff, so very cool.
Yeah.
Gene Roddenberry, who's no longer with us, was the guy who came up with the idea for Star Trek, and I've read so many times over the years how he went to the networks just weren't interested, they didn't understand the concept, and eventually it got made and changed television. Why do you think that was?
And it was so interesting, too, because they were always hitting topics that were of the day. I mean, that was at the time of the Cold War and everything. And they were hitting, their subject matter was just current events hidden in sci-fi clothing,
Right.
Which was interesting because the Klingons and the Federation were basically having a Cold War throughout the
They were the U.S.
series.
And Russia.
Yeah.
We were talking the other day about Little Rascals. We had Bug Hall on, the actor who played Alfalfa in the remake of Little Rascals.
I think it's so funny. I saw that. I think it's so funny that that's what you remember.
Right. I know.
I never saw the remake.
Oh, you never did? It's actually a pretty fun movie.
Poor Bug Hall.
No, he's doing fine. He's doing great. But I was saying how the Little Rascals, and I'll throw Star Trek into the same group, those were kind of the two shows. Little Rascals was more short films, but that really showed equality in terms of races getting together. You know, Star Trek, having black actors on television were few and far between in the 60s when Star Trek first aired, but they had Uhura in a very prominent position there on the bridge.
And they did the first, she and Shatner had the first
interracial kiss.
Interracial kiss, which apparently was...
Got a lot of crazy mail over at NBC.
Yeah.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I guess.
People were not ready to see that in the mid-60s. It was shocking.
Yeah, I mean, it blazed
a
lot
of trails. So was Shatner's acting, but really.
His whole... Well...
His, acting, I say loosely.
Roddenberry's whole idea, everything about that show was new. I mean, it totally matched what Shatner says at the beginning of the show, to boldly go where... I mean, that said no man then, but they changed it to no one.
Yeah.
Has gone before because it did blaze a lot of trails in that way. I think it was the first... Or one of the, well, it wasn't the first, but it was probably one of the better done early sci-fi shows.
Oh, without
like
a doubt.
Like space opera type
Without
shows.
A doubt. You know the story about Nichelle Nichols, who played Uhura. She wanted to leave the show after a season, and Martin Luther King, who was a fan of the show, urged her. He said, you don't understand the importance of you being on the bridge of the Enterprise to black people, you need to stay with the show. It's so important that you stay. And that's what convinced her to be a member for the next two seasons.
Yeah, she stuck around and did all the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
All those movies after that in the 70s.
You've listed all the different ways Star Trek is being paid tribute to on various channels. There's a lot of marathons going on over the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, tomorrow. Is today the 9th? Yeah, tomorrow is Epics.
Yeah.
Is doing...
Epics?
Sorry.
God.
That's the way rich people call it, Wendy.
I think that's... isn't that the French?
Yes.
The French way to say it.
Yes.
Or maybe it's the Australian way to say it. Epics is having a marathon of all the movies.
Yeah.
All the first round of movies and the Next Generation movies.
Oh.
And also a bunch of documentaries starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow, I believe. BBC America is currently... airing all of the original series episodes.
Oh, nice.
There were a couple other marathons earlier in the week. What is that? Heroes and Icons Network, which is local. It's a Weigel broadcasting thing.
Mm-hmm.
They have been airing all of the live action series. Every, like, Sundays, their whole primetime schedule is all the live action series in a row. And then weeknights, it shifts a little bit. There's 2 hours where it's not, and then it goes back to the others. But they're showing all the live-action series, and on last Sunday, they added the animated cartoon that was out in
1974. I got to be honest, those aren't bad.
No.
They really were pretty enjoyable.
Leonard Nimoy did Spock's voice for the entire run of that, and Shatner was on there for a while. But, yeah. So those are...
They're fun to watch.
Yeah. And those are further adventures of that original
crew. Of the Starship Enterprise. Kurt Wagner runs TVShowPatrol.com. Great website. If you love TV, visit TVShowPatrol.com. We'll come back with more next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. That's the website you want to visit if you enjoy TV, TVShowPatrol.com. The fall season, Kurt, kind of starts this week.
It kind
much,
of started.
Doesn't it?
There were a few things this week, and then next week, more things start to come up. Yes.
What can we look for this week?
starting today are two of the better new shows. There's on Amazon this show called One Mississippi, which is written and created and stars comedian or comic Tig Notaro.
Yeah, I know who she is. She's good.
And it's about her. She plays sort of a different version of herself.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of a life story type, a little bit of a life story type thing. She moves from LA to Mississippi after her mother's death.
Mm-hmm.
And Louis C.K. is a producer. Diablo Cody is a producer also.
Oh.
And
great screenwriter.
It's very, you know, they're calling it a tragedy because it's very sad. It's just pitch black. It's really a dark comedy. But it's really good. She's good in it, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised because comics a lot of times are very good actors.
Yeah,
but you know, that sadness and you know, I just think it would be hard to have lived that and then relive it.
Yeah, what's her name again?
Tig Notaro.
You'd like her. She's an interesting girl.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny though that so many of the comics now that are going into television, Louis C.K. is a good example. The show Baskets is a great example.
Yeah.
They're not straight
that.
Comedies. They're very, very dark comedies.
Right. I kind of jokingly call them non-coms.
Yeah.
Because they're so funny, but everything that's, you know, they're finding the humor in like almost the worst things possible. I mean, FX has a bunch of those. Pamela Adlon, who was an actress on Louis C.K. show Louis, and she's also, I think she might be a producer in that. She has her own show, which started last night on FX, called Better Things, where plays a heightened version of herself. She's an actress of a certain age in L.A., single mom with two kids who are just evil to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she hits all these things. Like, there's a funny scene where she goes on a audition. And there's another actress who looks almost exactly like her, who she knows, who she sees at every single audition, and you know, and they commiserate a bit, and you know, it's just there's all this, you know, she's constantly disappointed, and there's all this sadness, but they wring the funniest moments out of it. You know, FX has another one of those too that sort of deals with depression, and it's called You're the Worst, which is, I think, in its second season.
Mm.
That one I think has already started.
I like that people are discussing things. I mean, we're not getting any younger. A lot of people are dealing with the death of a parent or depression. And I like that this is coming to light. And doesn't it make the conversation a little more open about it?
Right. And I think that's part of this whole peak TV thing with all the shows, is that everybody's looking for points of view that aren't always aren't always out there.
Can I throw one more in?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this show. There's a comedian named Billy Eichhorn who's, you know the show, it's called Horrible People. It's him and a friend just bashing everybody and everything. And I've never seen an episode. I think I've seen 6 or 7 episodes now. It's in its second season. They take the weirdest shots at Kevin Spacey every week. I don't know why, but there's a punch. Kevin Spacey is the punchline to a joke every single week. I don't know what's behind that. It's always very funny that they take these rips on him, because I love Kevin Spacey. But
It's not, but you know, that show, I still haven't figured that show out yet. You know,
it's
is it just being
dark.
Mean to other people and judging them?
Every story, there's always a topic that goes on, but for the most part, it's the two of them just walking through life, just ripping on everything.
I don't want to see that.
But it's really fun. Like, at first, I'm like, I mean, wow, are they bitter? But it's really funny.
But you know, and I still wonder, are they really shining the light on themselves and how awful they are?
I think so.
But it doesn't necessarily, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of it, I think, to really gauge, but yeah. But Billy Eichhorn,
he's so funny.
He has that Billy on the street thing too, which he just goes up to people and yells at them about things, asks them questions.
He asks them questions. They can win $1 if they know the right answer, and when they don't know the answer.
But people often run from him because he just screams at them. And sometimes he has an actor in tow, and he'll say, like, you know, he has... You know, well, we'll say yes, Bill. You know, I'm here with Bill. Or do you know who Bill F is?
Yeah.
But it's some, you know, not that you're not famous, but somebody really famous usually, you know?
Like Oprah.
And they'll go, no, I don't know who that is, because they don't.
I've seen the offering $1 and yelling at them.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It's great.
Yeah. And then tonight, Cinemax has this new show called Quarry, which is also another show that it's good, it's great, but it's hard to watch. It's about a Vietnam vet who comes back in 1974 and, you know, he has a hard time adjusting. Then this, you know, this guy wants to hire him to become a contract killer.
Yeah.
And he says no. But then something happens in his life where he is sort of forced into doing it.
Interesting. That's called Quarry.
Quarry.
Starts tonight.
Yeah.
Any names? Anybody recognize?
I'm not going to think of his name now that you say it.
A recognizable actor, though? Somebody you've
something
seen
Michael Green. Something Michael Green. Anyway. Mm. Yeah, it's good.
All right. We'll look for that.
Another challenging one.
Kurt, this Sunday is the anniversary of September 11th. It's 15 years since September 11th. So I know television is going to go out of their way to somehow pay tribute.
Oh, Logan Michael Green is the actor.
Logan Michael Green. Okay, that's the star of Quarry. Quarry, what do we need to know about what's going on TV-wise for September 11th?
There's a bunch of stuff. If you get the Smithsonian Network, they have sort of all day a bunch of... documentaries that some of them have aired previously, some of them are new. And then there's other networks that are doing some new things. History has this thing, 102 Minutes That Changed America, the 15th anniversary. And it is, they're doing that, and then they're doing, that's an old one, but they're adding to it for the 15th anniversary. So it's an old documentary, but they're putting new footage and new interviews and stuff in it. So,
which is the one?
There's another one.
Oh, yeah.
America's 9/11 Flag Rise from the Ashes. That's the new one. And it's about, I heard the morning show guy talking about
this. Yeah, Steve
Cochran
was saying this flag that was put on the rubble was donated by somebody who had a big ship. And then it disappeared.
Right.
I was unaware of that.
And so this is sort of, I think this follows its history, where it went, its journey, and all that kind of stuff, but also explores just the, you know, the tragedy and everything.
The best one that I've ever seen, and I'm so sorry I don't remember the name of it, Robert De Niro narrates it. It's two French brothers, two filmmakers who came over, and their intention was not to videotape, of course, what went on. They had no idea. They were shooting another documentary about life in New York when everything happened, and it's so moving, and so disturbing, and so beautiful. Just in the way they capture the most horrendous moments. I'm sure somebody's showing that, and I wish so badly.
Well, you know, there were a bunch of things already on this week.
Oh, were there?
Yeah, there have been things last week and this week. I don't know if that one specifically is one of the ones on the Smithsonian list, but I did do a story listing the Smithsonian stuff.
Yeah.
But But yeah, there's been stuff in the last couple of weeks leading up to this, and then Sunday is, of course, the anniversary.
That's the day.
Yeah.
It's the Naudé brothers, Jules and Gédéon Naudé. Is it just called 9/11? I think that's what it is.
Is that it? Yeah.
Through the lens of James Hanlon and two French filmmakers who were in New York 9/11. I think it's just called 9/11, a real life documentary following the events of September 11th. The two French filmmakers, they were in Manhattan one day.
Right.
So 9/11, 2002, it came out. It really is.
Boy, is it's
impactful.
Yeah, it really is. I've seen it twice, and I mean, of course, you kind of know what you're getting. You know what happened that day, but when you're seeing it in real time like that, and it's so unexpected, like the day was, boy, does it capture the flavor
of
what went on.
Yeah, and you know, I heard him this morning talking about, you know,
Steve
there are Cochran, people now who don't know, or who weren't around then, or weren't aware because they were so young.
One kid of mine wasn't even born yet. The other was two.
And so, you know, this is a good way, to show them and educate them, and also show them the impact that it had if they don't, if they can't grasp it.
Right.
Kurt, thanks.
Yeah.
Always appreciate you being here. It's Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. It's a great website. We'll take a quick break. Then Kim Gordon has the news for you. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.